Dylan, Jules, and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
Would you move for love, Jules?
No, I knew this question was coming. No, I haven't. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I've never moved for love.
Okay, so if you found the right guy, he lived in the Northern Territory, which is a different state from where you're currently living, would you move to NT?
Geez, it would have to be real love, like a strong love.
It's the guy. I'm saying he's the one.
But I would make him move to me.
Okay. That does not surprise me in the
slightest. Man, I don't compromise.
I'm actually doing a quiz with you tomorrow. Why are you single? And you're ticking
more boxes. I know. Okay. I know why I'm single.
Kim Kardashian has come out this week. The last season of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians is airing, and the episode aired a couple of days ago, and it's made a bit of waves because, of course, the divorce went through with Kanye.
Sure did.
And she's revealed why.
After turning 40 this year, I realized, like, no, I don't want a husband that lives in a completely different state.
Yeah.
To me, I thought, oh my God, that's when we're getting along the best. But then that is sad to me.
Of course, Kanye picked up and moved to Wyoming from LA. Mm-hmm. And apparently wasn't much consideration for the family. Just kind of went, I've bought a ranch. Everyone move here. And she's like, I'm the Kardashians.
I feel like he doesn't really have much consideration for anyone but himself.
He's an interesting cat. I love me some Kanye. But
you know,
your family's got to be your biggest consideration over your shoe brand.
You would I know you're mm-hmm. you're with Em at the moment. You got a little baby girl, Indy. Mm-hmm. Would you move for love? Would you though?
I am to move for love. Yeah, I mean, apart from the fact we are moving houses because we've got a mold problem in our current rental.
I was like, and Em wants to get out of that house. Is that why you're moving?
Yeah, I went to three inspections yesterday. But on a bigger scale, yeah, I will move to the state where Emily's parents live. So her family's there. She's got six brothers, incredibly connected family. And even though I live, you know, close to my mum at the moment, I understand with a little baby.
Yeah.
It's fair for her to, you know, her grandparents, her mum and dad, to grow around her. So I definitely would move. We are going to move. It's a discussion we've had for a couple of years, but I'll be back. As Arnold Schwarzenegger said, I'll be back to my home eventually.
But people move countries for love. You know what I mean?
And
I couldn't do it. I don't know.
I've got such huge respect for people who move overseas for love. I've got really good, great friends of ours, some of our best friends, Emily and I. Jens and Finella. You know, Finella's from Victoria and Jens is from Sweden. And he was here on a boys trip. They met at a bar, fell in love, and he's been here for years. And because of COVID, he hasn't seen his family
together?
For years. Oh, engaged.
Really?
Yeah. And the best couple of all time, second to us, of course.
Must be nice to be in love.
But I want to know, 131060, did you move for love? And let's talk about the positives and negatives of it. I'm not sort of, you know, storyboarding this for my own personal life, but I think it's so interesting that you can have such a huge connection with someone that you'll uproot your whole life and move with them.
Mm-hmm.
Elma in Melbourne, bring the vibe back up. Tell us, did you move for love?
Yes, I did.
How far?
Okay.
How far? From Germany.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. How long had you known your partner before you moved?
We've known each other for year and a half.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you guys were doing the long distance thing before that?
Yes.
Okay. And you've been married for 20 years?
Yes. What? And two beautiful kids.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And dual passports.
Okay. Weren't you like a little bit worried that, you know, it was all going to fall apart and then you just packed up your life and moved to another country?
Yes, because I left everybody. I left my parents, my brother. So I have no my side of the family here at all.
Mm.
But I was young. I was 18, actually.
Yeah, you can rebound then. You do it in your 30s versus when you do it when you're
18. I'm 34. I ain't doing it now.
Yeah, it's tougher. Emma in Queensland, who moved for love in your relationship?
I did. I moved from England to Australia.
I mean, well, we all did. Boring.
Wait, babe, how long ago was this?
25 years ago.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're still with your partner?
Unfortunately not, no.
Oh.
And that's the downside of moving.
Good. I would love to hear the negative.
But you fell in love with Australia and stayed here.
Yes, I did. Initially, I did. I was with him for 15 years. And, and then, so it was a long relationship and two kids later. But yes, it was the unfortunate side is leaving your family and being in a different country when a marriage breaks down. It's not the best.
Well, you shouldn't have stole that loaf of bread, you know?
That's exactly right.
Hey, Emma, we're going to give you a voucher to spend at the iconic. $100 is coming your way to spend online.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Of course, your one-stop shop for fashion, sport, kids, toys and beauty with fast delivery and free returns.
Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
Grant Hackett is commentating for Amazon Prime Video's The Australian Swimming Trials. They're going to be live and exclusive on the platform from June 12th. Grant Hackett, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thanks,
mate. Hey, well, thank you. Firstly, congratulations on tying the knot at the end of last year.
Did you?
Oh, tie. Yeah, no, it was a very, very exciting time, actually. Well, we still want to actually have a wedding, but we wanted to get married because we've been waiting for so long because of COVID. And then, you know, we're based in Melbourne, so we're always in a lockdown. And then we got family up in Queensland, family over in Adelaide. So we thought, let's just, you know, get married and then do the wedding once everything settles down. And even our friends from overseas can come over as well. But it was really intimate and really nice.
Beautiful. Oh, see, I was thinking it was more of like a financial move of like, okay, let's do it now. So we don't have to invite everyone because that's exactly.
You saying Grant Hackett's tied us?
No, I'm not saying that at all, but you can save money. And I mean, everyone
that's definitely more economical, trust me. Yeah.
And if you ask anyone who's been married, says, if I'd have my day again, I wouldn't have spent as much money.
Well, what's really funny is because it was only just a few people, you know, at a small gathering, as soon as we came out of our second lockdown in Melbourne, it was really intimate and nice. And it kind of got back to what it's all about rather than having a big fanfare and lots of people there and a big party and trying to get around and see everyone. So it was really, really nice.
Oh, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Question about swimming. Cody Simpson, is he legit? I know Cody. I've interviewed him a bunch as an artist, but of course he's gone from pop star to the pool.
And I didn't even know.
He's got a bunch of mentors, including Thorpe and yourself. Is he going to make the I mean, he's obviously making the trials. Is he going to make the team?
Look, it's a long shot for him making this team. That's not what he's training for. Everyone's kind of thinking Cody Simpson Olympic Games, but he's actually training for 2024. So Cody,
Paris.
Wasn't blind coming into this. Yeah, he was really focused on, you know, 2024, where he would have a real opportunity of actually getting himself on the team. The fact that he's actually been able to qualify for trials in less than 12 months of training is quite phenomenal. And I'll put that in context. You have to swim 56 seconds for 100-metre butterfly to qualify to go to the Australian trials to see if he can get on the Olympic team, which is top two spots, a qualifying time. However, he went 54 about 3 or 4 months ago, and then he went 53.6 seconds about a month or a bit over a month ago. Yeah. And if to make the team would be about 51 low, 51 flat. So you can see how much just over the course of, you know, less than 12 months, how much he's improved. So give him another 3 years, he can be with a shot. He was a great swimmer when he was younger. He was phenomenal. So, you know, that itch just needed to be scratched. And I actually spoke to him, you know, when he started out a year ago, and I said, look, are you really committed to this? And he said, look, I can do my music anytime, but I'm going to have one crack at swimming while I'm younger, and I'm still fit enough and young enough to do it. So I want to give it a go. So good on him for chasing after a dream.
I wonder if he listens to his own music. You know, when you're trying to pump yourself up before you do something, I wonder if he listens to himself.
Well, particularly with swimming, though, like you do so many laps. Are you going up and down? Is he singing someone else's songs? Mm. You know, I was in the 90s. I'm singing Soundgarden, Nirvana, Foo Fighters, all those sort of bands. But is he singing Cody Simpson or something else? It's a good question.
We'll have to ask Cody when we get it.
Now, one of the biggest things that have come out this week with the swimming trials happening or coming up is Matty Groves coming out claims that there's misogynistic perverts in the swim, I'm going to say community. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about these claims?
Oh, look, I don't have any insights into the specific issues and what she's necessarily talking about. I know Matty quite well when I used to live back on the Gold Coast. And, you know, she's been through a very up and down 5 years since the last Olympic game. She's had chronic illness. She's been in the water and out of the water. So she's had a lot of personal challenges. In terms of the claims and the statements that were made, I think, you know, once she's ready to engage with Australian swimming, because I know there's no formal complaint that's actually been submitted yet, I think at that stage they can investigate it. I know everyone at Australian swimming is completely committed to making sure that it's a safe sport and that, you know, everyone is taken care of, from whether you're a grommet all the way up to a professional athlete who sits on the national team going to the Olympic Games. So, you know, hopefully all that sort of stuff, as we continue to evolve as a sport, becomes, you know, further and further in the rear view mirror. But yeah, it was very, very sad to see that stuff.
Grant, before you go, we have some mutual friends. I'm best mates with Pooley and Josh Minogue and Bevy up on the Gold Coast. And I asked them on WhatsApp.
Good fellas.
I asked them, give me some insight on a Grant Hackett story that I can share. And Josh said, he was nearly an Australian competitor swimmer himself. He said in 2008, when you broke the world record at the short course, you drank nearly a bottle of vodka to celebrate. And then he said the next day, facing a potential hangover, you still won the 1,500 metres. Is that true?
No, because in 2008, I definitely would have done anything like that because it was Olympic year. So that would have been a little bit crazy.
So Josh has got his dates wrong.
I thought you were going to say it was tequila.
Yeah. I don't drink vodka. Okay. It was rum.
Before any major championships, I wouldn't have, you know, had a drink at all. You would certainly celebrate afterwards, don't get me wrong, okay. But beforehand you're completely focused.
False information.
I wouldn't drink probably up to 6-7 months beforehand a major meet, like a world championships or an Olympic Games or a Commonwealth Games. So,
and that's why I'm not a sporting superstar.
And the world record
maybe
still
that
holds.
Was the night after.
Okay, maybe. Well,
yeah, no, definitely not that one, because that was the 800-meter short course that I did literally 3 weeks out before the Olympic Games, so which was actually in Melbourne at Vic Centre there. So, and then we actually got on a plane to Singapore that night to go to a training camp. So, no, that one, unfortunately.
I'll have words with Minna. Thank you, Grant, and good luck commentating for the Amazon Prime Video. Australian swimming trials are going to be live and exclusive on the platform from June 12th. We look forward to watching them and hearing you commentate.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on. Cheers.
Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
Now, I want you to tell me whether I was in the right or whether my Uber driver was in the right. I was catching an Uber. It must have been Wednesday night. Yeah, it must have been Wednesday night, right? And
does that matter to the story?
Well, yes, it does, okay. Because now I know what he was listening to.
I'm building my case. Yep.
He was listening Wednesday to the audio of the Origin. That was playing.
That was
Origin
Wednesday
game,
night.
Cool. Right? Wednesday night.
Story checks out.
Anyway, here's the thing, right? I'm in the back of this Uber and I'm watching this series. I love this series called Benidorm. Like, I've watched it so many times, but it's just something that really puts me in a really, really great mood. So I watch it a fair bit, okay. And I laugh out loud about it all the time. I had my headphones in. This guy, the Uber driver, was listening to the State of Origin. Mm-hmm. Through his through his speaker system. So he didn't have it just in his ears or anything like that. He had it playing through the radio, right? And I'm in the back seat and I'm laughing. Anyway, I see his head constantly keep turning around. And then he puts his finger up to his mouth and goes, shh, and shushed me.
Well, he's in the wrong.
You reckon?
100%. I mean, you knew this, obviously. There's no other way for it. I mean, the state that you live in, Origin, is huge.
No, I know.
But if this guy loves Origin so much that he's shushing passengers in a ride share where you have the right of way being the paying customer,
right?
Then yes, he should have just taken the shift off.
Well, here's the thing. So I pulled my earpiece out and I was like, sorry, what? And he's like, shh, like that. And he's pointing at the radio to say that he can't hear. And I was like,
you
joking,
said, mate,
right?
I'm on a different radio station. If you're going to listen to Triple M and then shush me.
I wasn't going there. Anyways, kicked me out.
Kicked you out?
Pulled over to the side of the road. Like, okay. And I'm not saying it wasn't like wasn't in the desert or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I was pretty close to where I was.
Did he charge you for the
fare? It still charged, still went through. But then my Uber rating dropped down to 4.2, which
that's,
I'm pretty sure.
That's already a pretty pathetic score. I think you're maybe a bad Uber passenger.
No.
I'm 4.76, and I think that's low.
No, I'm pretty sure that I was like at least a 4.8 before that
You don't
trip.
Drop 0.6 unless this is your 10th Uber ever.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm not something that I always check unless I've had like some kind of issue with the driver or with the ride.
Well, I'm going to say in this instance, you're absolutely in the right and he's a filthy pig.
Okay, here's the thing. This is what I want to know, right? Because this guy literally, like, it's okay if my mum shushes me, if someone I know shushes me, right?
It's very demeaning as an adult to be shushed.
But to be shushed by a complete stranger, to be told off by a stranger is weird, right?
That's why we're asking, 13, 10, 60.
But it does happen, yeah.
Have you been told off in public? Or can I chuck this one out there as a new parent? Have you ever had your kid told off by another parent?
Oh.
And how does that make you feel?
Yeah, okay. I
13,
like that.
10, 60. When have you been told off in public? And extra points if it's kids. We've actually got an Uber driver on the air. Probably Roscoe, was it you on Wednesday night?
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, thank God.
Have you ever shushed a passenger?
Never. I just can't believe that, Jules. That guy
shushed me.
Should be sacked.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, that's insane.
How do you find out what he's like complained to me about? Because my score went right down, like my rating.
Well, something should be sent out from Uber to the passenger if there's been a complaint for the driver, if it's serious.
Right. Okay.
But at the end of the day, the passenger is always right.
Mm. Yes.
I wouldn't give a person a poor rating unless they tried to hijack the car.
So you don't you don't look at the stars? You wouldn't, like, not pick her up because she's gone from a 4.8 for a 4.2? Well, you still...
Everyone's the same in my eyes. Everyone.
As long as she got money. Hey, apparently, though, if you've got a score between 4.5 and 4.9, that is good.
That's
like
me.
The average passenger, though, nice. Is around 4.6.
Yeah, I'm 4.76. Deb in Mansfield, you've been yelled at in public. What happened?
Not so much me, and certainly not yelled at, but the question was, you know, whether or not your kids have ever been told off by somebody else who's a stranger.
Yep.
Answer's yes, and I'm, first of all, with regards to the Uber driver, completely disrespectful and should never have happened.
Yep.
So when we come back to kids and kids being told off by adults that they don't know, I think it can be done, and I think it can be done respectfully. You know, kids have to learn there's different rules in different places. So they go to their grandparents, and they might not get away with something they get away in my house, but then there's certainly lots of things they don't get away with in my house that they do with their grandparents as well. So part of that, I think, is them understanding, you know, we're not all the same, and that's actually okay.
Yeah.
But, I'm fine. If someone said to my kids when they were younger that that was not okay, I think I never had a problem with it, providing it's done respectfully by an adult.
Mm, that's a good point.
Okay.
Because I'm just thinking, I got a four-month-old Indy. I just wonder if we're at, like, a public pool and all of a sudden someone yells at her or something across the
way. Yeah, I mean, because does that make you feel like you're not parenting, well enough?
If
another parent
it's not
has
that,
to...
Because I know that my parenting skills are good enough. It would be, like, why does another parent want to interfere in what my job is? Not that I'm inadequate at it, that they think that I'm inadequate at it.
Yeah,
would be the problem. Thanks, Deb. CJ in Townsville. I mean, you didn't have to have, you know, the... Origin coming through the speakers. It was on your front door.
I know, right? It was great. We were there.
Atmosphere unbelievable,
nice.
I imagine.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I was with one of the New South Wales supporters.
Ooh, yeah. Geez, you're a rare find up in Townsville. Head down Palmer Street.
No. We're home by 10 o'clock.
Very respectful.
Oh, did you get called? Did you get told off at the game, or was this another time?
No. Just the person I was with was tied by them. But New South Wales was already winning, so that's all that mattered.
When did you get told off, though?
Well, look, a number of years ago, going through the shopping centre with a friend and her children, and as kids do, sometimes they like to try and grab things and put them in the trolley, and hopefully mum doesn't notice that it's in there. So on one of these occasions, mum's sort of grabbing some stuff off the trolley, and one of the items that the kids kept nagging about, and mum had already said, no, you can't have that. Well, eventually she's grabbing something and the arm comes in next to her and grabs another item off the shelf.
Yeah.
Mum naturally smacks the kid's hand and said, I told you, we're not putting that in the trolley, and then realises it was actually someone else's child.
Not bad. Thank you, CJ, and thank you, everyone, for calling.
Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
During the week, people always ask me, what do you do during the week? And most times I can't tell them anything, really. So
it's hard to justify sometimes.
I do a lot of scrolling, I tell you that, and I call it research. Now, I was scrolling during the week and I came across this chick who had posted this photo on Reddit, and she had her hand out, right, and she had this square... orange yellow block on her hand, like this rectangle block, and it's
as big as a Rubik's cube or smaller.
Smaller than a Rubik's cube, maybe a quarter of a Rubik's cube,
sure.
Right? She's holding it over a sink, and she's written on the top of it, "I've just realised the soap I've been using isn't actually soap; it's a block of cheese."
Well, she's an idiot.
No. What she's actually done is she's house sitting, right? And she had got a block of cheese out as a midnight snack, cut off some cheese, ate it, but accidentally left a little block next to the sink. She's woken up the next day. She's watching. She thought it was soap.
She's an idiot. I don't know how you're trying to justify it past the point.
Here's the thing. For three days,
she's wiping her head with cheddar. She's an idiot.
That it was a block of cheese, but it did get me thinking about this one time. We went out on a big night and It was so big that the kebab shop had already closed by the time we finished up. Yeah, that's how big. And this is back in my early 20s, right? So friends and I went back to a mate's house and he wasn't coming with us. Like, he was doing other stuff with a girl, okay? So okay. He allowed us to go back to his place. We get back to his place, obviously raided the cupboards and the fridge. We decided that we're going to fire up the barbecue and we're going to cook some patties. Now, one of his best mates is the one who organized the meat. And he's cut it up and he's put it on the barbecue and it's cooking away. We're all starving. We're all hanging around this barbecue waiting for the food to cook. The actual guy who owns the house gets home and was like, how did you get the mince like so round? And he's like, oh no, I just used that Devon. It's like, I used that Devon roll in the fridge.
Oh no, I know what this is. As a dog owner, I know what's coming.
It was dog food. It was actual dog. You know, the dog food
that you get. Like, those big congealed things. Meats. Yeah.
Literally was that. So we didn't tell some of the guys. Oh,
it's weekend.
But they did so much.
Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
We welcome in a superstar to the show.
Yes.
A guy that when they say you have 15 minutes of fame, this guy has gone and extended that to 365 days. If you don't know the story of Rohit from TikTok, then you don't know the story of a year off fizzy drink.
Hello, everyone. I have an addiction of drinking fizzy drinks. Doctors have told me to stop immediately, but I haven't been able to do so yet. So I've decided to use some help from TikTok. I know this is a fun platform, but I'm just trying to get some help.
Hello, everybody. Just to let you know that it's almost 24 hours now and I haven't had any fizzy drink whatsoever.
Hello, everyone. Second day today. No fizzy drinks.
Hello, everyone. No fizzy drink for me today. And tomorrow is Sunday. And you remember I said previously I'm going to have one fizzy drink on Sunday. But guess what? I'm not going to have any fizzy drink tomorrow.
In the days just gone by, he celebrated 1 year off fizzy drink and joins us right now. Rohit, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no worries at all. How are you feeling after 365 days off the soft drinks?
I'm feeling amazing after not having fizzy drinks for a whole 1 year now.
Now, here's the thing, Rohit. When people do, like, I've got a mate of mine, Totters, who went a year off booze, and so what did he do after the 1 year? He cracked a Corona and he had a beer. Did you celebrate 1 year off fizzy drinks by having a Fanta?
No, I'm not going to have any fizzy drinks for some time now. I celebrated by having a glass of water.
Celebrated with a glass of water, nice.
What drink is it that you were drinking before you started this?
Because I was highly addicted, it's everything and they are readily available. So there's not like one brand or something. I was addicted to the fizzy drinks and I was drinking everything available.
What like changes have you noticed in your body, Rohit, from like going off it? Like even in the first couple of weeks to like then months and now a full year?
Yeah, I lost weight as well. In one year I lost 17.7 kilos.
Woo!
Also, and that's also because I started my weight loss journey after that as well. But obviously, not having fizzy drinks helped a lot. I was always feeling bloated before because of fizz as well. I know people know sugar is bad, but equally the fizz is bad, which is like the carbonated gas and everything. Even mentally as well, I could sleep well in the night. I can relax more, focus on the current job or those sort of things as well. So it helped me immensely physically and mentally.
So do you use 17.7 kilos as your metric of losing weight or do you use it as 17 3/4 bottles of 1 liter Coke?
I'm just continuing to lose weight. I'm continuing to not having fizzy drinks. Okay. The main thing is keep going and it's all about what you can try. Doesn't worry about what results will be.
Okay.
There you go. And do you draw the line on soda water? That is technically a fizzy drink.
Yeah. So I don't drink soda water or sparkling mineral water. Anything fizzy is not drinking.
Because it's
fizzy,
more the idea of fizziness, you know. That could be like the gateway drug back into fizzy drinks.
That's why I didn't say that it's a no soft drink journey. That's why I said it's a no fizzy drink.
Fizzy drinks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I like it.
Well, Rohit, we love the journey so much that we're asking people on 131060, what did you go a year without as you celebrate the milestone of 1 year without fizzy drinks? Thank you so much for coming on the show, legend.
Wow, thank you for having me.
Jules, what about you? Have you ever done a year off anything?
You know what? I actually did 2 years. I did 2 years off dating men.
Oh, okay. You went to women. That's fantastic. Let's talk about that much more.
No, I did.
Oh, seriously? I was joking.
No, I'll just try it out. I was just over men, so I was like, oh, maybe I like women. And I did, but, you know, now I like men.
It's another phone topic for another day. We did not expect that. What did you go a year without? Stacey in Sydney, 365 days without what for you?
Social media for 365 days.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a big detox.
I don't know if I could do that. How did you go?
It was challenging, but it actually wasn't as hard as I thought it would be.
What was your screen time? How many hours a day were you spending on the socials?
It was about 4.5 hours a day.
That's a lot. And then you had a year off.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot. Afterwards, like now you're back on social media, did you wean yourself back in or how does it work?
Yeah, I did. After the year, I downloaded my socials back and my screen time in half.
Okay, in half, 2 hours.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it's a good exercise. I think everyone needs to get theirs down. Let's go to you, Jules.
To be honest, I just wouldn't know whose birthday was when if I didn't have social media.
What's your screen time? You got the app on your iPhone?
Yeah, it's 9.5 hours.
A day?
Yeah. That's average, yeah.
You spend 40% of your day looking at the socials.
Yeah.
I'm not going to judge
that
you. That's really
Is
bad.
Is that bad?
Man. Yeah.
Is it?
Mills, our producer, can you have a look at what the average person spends as screen time on their phone, please? We'll go to Chloe in Brisbane. What did you spend a year without?
So I gave up coffee for a whole year, or pretty much all caffeine.
Okay.
So, yeah, I basically just, like, I wasn't sure why I was feeling so kind of, like, sick and crappy all the time, and I was like, maybe it's coffee. So I just pretty much went cold turkey and cut it out completely.
Thank you very much for your call. Let's cross out to Amelia, the producer. What is the average screen time for somebody?
According to a study in the US, it's 3 hours and 15 minutes per day.
But in saying that, can I explain?
Don't justify it for work. No. You work 2 days a week.
No. I'm not even saying work. It's how I communicate with all my friends around the country, around the world. We've been in a pandemic. There's people in lockdowns. Like, I spend a lot of my time, that's how I communicate with my family and friends because they don't live near me.
So 9 hours a day, more than 9 hours, that's 61 hours a week. That's okay, nearly three days out of seven that you're spending.
On Sunday, it was eight hours and 51 minutes.
My apologies. It wasn't 9 hours. It was 8 hours on Sunday.
You're getting up with Dylan, Jules and Angus on Weekend Breakfast.
And I have to shout out my mate Chad. My mate Chad is not a great storyteller. Okay. Especially after a few beers, when you sit around that weirdly iconic Australian glass table at the backside after kick-ons.
Yes, yeah.
Everyone will watch Chad going, mate, wrap this up. You're one of the worst storytellers of all time, but he told a ripper. So much so it's made the radio show.
Okay.
Chad is in love with a girl.
Yeah.
And he's been in love with this girl for about 4 months. And he has gone for the slow is best option of approach. So he didn't want to come on too strong. He's actually asked everyone for advice who's in relationships.
Really?
Yeah, he's really into this girl.
Okay.
Finally, he had a breakthrough. She asked for his number.
Right.
And, like, in our group chat, he was like, guys, it's happened. She asked for my number.
Yes.
We're going to actually catch up in real life again. They met each other at an event. Instagram DMs. But finally, she'd asked for his number.
Okay.
Now, Chad's a bloke. And Chad has some needs. So in the 4 or 5 months of courting this girl that he loves, he had some hookups.
He is not in love. But anyway, continue.
Well, I mean, he wasn't sure if the feelings were reciprocated until the moment that she asked for the number. And I mean,
I get that.
He's still got to see there's plenty more fish out in the sea. So Chad had met a girl on Snapchat. She was willing and able to have some fun in the bedroom.
Okay, yeah.
And so he had given her his number. Mm-hmm. Now, he'd given it to her the night before.
Right.
He'd given this girl that he loves the number.
Right.
And all of a sudden, gets a text message from an unknown number. It says, beep, beep, just making sure we're good for this weekend. Chad's like, this is the girl, the naughty girl from Snapchat. Yeah. And he texted back going, oh, I'm ready. Make sure you're ready. Winky face emoji. She texts back going, yeah, no, that's all good. Saturday still work? Now, he had not got the dates of the event that they were going to meet up at. So it was a food and wine festival. And he didn't realize it was on this weekend. He just thought it was sort of an open invitation to go to a festival that existed for a while.
Yeah.
Not specifically the weekend. And he texts back going, what are you going to be wearing? And she said, hadn't thought about it.
Yeah.
Probably something smart for the weather.
And he wrote back going, quite hot in my bedroom. And she wrote back, that's quite forward. And he wrote back, well, that's what we're into.
Yeah.
And then when she wrote back, I'm not sure I'm into that, it clicked.
No.
This is not the girl from Snapchat. This is the love of my life.
No.
So Chad does, I mean, Chad's in his 30s and he's single. Yeah. So his game isn't great to begin with. And Chad thought, without asking any of us mates, the best approach was the honest approach.
No.
And so he said, here's the situation. I've been texting you thinking you're a girl that I was going to have consensual lovemaking with.
Oh, my gosh.
Instead,
oh my gosh.
You're the girl that I'm genuinely interested in relationship-wise. And she wrote back, please never text this number again. Chad single, 131060 if you're interested in Chad. Oh, hang on, no calls.
Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.